This morning's Bible reading is taken. This morning's Bible reading is taken from Matthew chapter 16, commencing at verse 13 to 20. I'm reading from the Message Bible this morning, so if you are following in church Bible, obviously the same layout. But I'm not sure if it's on the same on there. But anyway, here we go. It's entitled Son of Man, Son of God. When Jesus arrived in the villages of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "What are people saying about who the Son of Man is?" They replied, Some think he is John the Baptizer, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. He pressed them, "And how about you? Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter said, "You're the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus came back. "God bless you, Simon, son of Jonah. You didn't get that answer out of books or from teachers. My Father in heaven, God himself, let you in on the secret of who I really am. And now I'm going to tell you who you are, who you really are. You are Peter, a rock. This is the rock on which I will put together my church, a church so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out. And that's not all. You will have a complete and free access to God's kingdom, keys to open any and every door, no more barriers between heaven and earth, earth and heaven. A yes on earth is a yes in heaven. A no on earth is no in heaven. He swore the disciples to secrecy. He made them promise they would tell no one that he was the Messiah. Amen.
Let's pray for Joe. Father God, you just know how Joe's feeling right now. And I would simply pray that you will just come upon her and bring her your peace and your strength in these moments. And I pray that the words that she speaks are the words that you've given her through this past week in preparation. And that they will fall upon us and they will be words that will challenge us into the coming week. So, Father, keep our ears and hearts open to you and bless Jo as she speaks now. Amen.
Well, in just a few days, we'll be giving back the keys. So, that's the keys to our house, our office keys, there's quite a few of those, the charity shop keys, the keys to the doors of this church. There are a lot of keys involved in moving. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. And the amount of pockets I have had to mend in Tim's trousers or jackets because the holes from the weight of the keys that he's been carrying around. So moving is a time of sorting the keys, giving up the keys, giving them back, and taking up new ones, new keys to new doors. And when I was planning what I could say over these last 3 weeks before we leave, our just one more thing, our embrace, and just one more thing, our parting words. This word, keys, came into my mind. Keys are about access and authority. If you have the keys, it means you're trusted with the responsibility of locking up and keeping things safe and not losing them. Is that right? I wonder when was the last time you lost your keys and that dreadful feeling of hunting for them and hoping that you find them. some people, they love keys, don't they? We had a children's worker in one of our appointments who loved having the keys. He loved locking and unlocking, and you would hear him jangling around the building somewhere, and he would be swishing those keys. And if you arrived at the same time as him, he would get there before you with the keys to unlock the door. Oh, the power of the keys. Well, in the Bible reading, Jesus gives to Peter the metaphorical keys of the kingdom. He gives the keys of the kingdom to Peter. And I've been thinking about them, and I've been wondering what he meant when he said to Peter, look, you have the keys. You have the keys. What do you think they are? What do you think the keys of the kingdom are? If the keys are about authority and access, what are these keys? Now, the church over the centuries has made a lot of these keys, almost as if the church can decide who's in and who's out of God's kingdom. And yes, the church is given a lot of responsibility to represent Jesus to the people around us, to bear his message of forgiveness and freedom, to try and reflect the goodness of God to the world around us. But the church can also interpret those keys very narrowly. And there is a danger for the church of becoming restrictive and controlling. But I'm not sure that's what Jesus was really saying. In years gone by, if someone wanted access to the king, an audience with the king, a servant would come along with the keys, and he would unlock the doors into the palace, into the inner rooms, and into the presence, lead that person who wanted the audience into the presence of the king. The keys are about opening the door and introducing people to the king. So what are these keys that Jesus is passing on to his disciples? And remember, it's keys, it's not key, it's plural. So there's this bunch of keys in my mind, and I wonder what you would write on the fobs of these keys as Jesus gives them to Peter. I wonder if one of the fobs says, pray together. That's the key to the kingdom, is pray together. And I wonder if one says, love each other. There's a key to the kingdom, Peter. Remember that one. And what else might there be? Maybe one says, forgive each other. Forgive one another. Maybe one of them says, make sure you listen to me. Listen to me. What would you think was on those fobs of those keys of the kingdom? What I think the keys are is what Jesus has been saying and doing with those disciples for the past however many months they've been with him. Jesus had been announcing this kingdom, been going around telling people it had arrived. And he'd been demonstrating this kingdom, hadn't he, by healing people and blessing people and restoring people and exercising demons, and all sorts of stuff was going on in power as he demonstrated the kingdom of God, bringing freedom to those who were captive by their fears, and bringing hope to those who were in desperate situations. The keys are to live as Jesus lived, bringing hope, bringing freedom, announcing his arrival. It sounds a great kingdom, doesn't it? It sounds fantastic. But the shocking thing is that this kingdom that Jesus was announcing and demonstrating, it didn't look how the Jews were expecting it to look at the time. Because, and this is why, the wrong people were getting into the kingdom. The wrong people were getting in. The kingdom wasn't about good people and how good everyone was at keeping the laws. It wasn't for the people you might expect to be in, those who were keeping the rules. Jesus had a welcome for the people that society had shut out, the people that they had disallowed. Those on the outside suddenly found themselves on the inside of God's kingdom. That's amazing, isn't it? I don't think we realize, looking back and reading the Bible, how shocking that is. It's an upside-down kingdom. You know, the gospel is good news for the poor. Why? And it's not, as I used to think, because in heaven they'll be okay. That's what I used to think. Is that what you thought? It's not that. It's because the gospel makes insiders of those who are perpetually excluded by society. The gospel makes insiders of the poor. The poor get a welcome in the kingdom, not a door in the face from Jesus. Isn't that, that really excites me. Does it excite you? I'm excited by that. Because the kingdom Jesus promoted looked like welcome. It looked like welcome. And perhaps we should write that on one of the keys. Welcome, whoever you are. Whatever's been going on for you. However marginalized you feel by everybody else, welcome to the kingdom of God. And the cross, Jesus with his arms outstretched, is the place where he makes that welcome real. The cross is where the welcome is made real, because here it is that he has dealt with the dross. He's dealt with our sin and our selfishness, so we can experience that embrace, that unconditional love of God. His resurrection is the power of life over death, of hope over despair, and it's the promise for you and for me of forever with God in his kingdom. I just want to give him a clap for that, don't you? I mean, I just feel like that's worth applauding. He's done it, guys. He's done it. The kingdom that Jesus promoted looks like welcome. And so the just one more thing I want to pass on today is welcome. Welcome. And let this continue to be a place that is welcome for all. And when that gets difficult or messy, because people are difficult and messy, are they not? And we ourselves can be difficult. We can be a bit messy too. Well, that's probably how it should be. Do you know? It's not perfect. But God is here. God welcomes us, whoever we are. And it's not welcome if you behave, or you know how to sing the songs, or you know your Bible. It's not that. It's welcome whoever you are, whatever you've done. Let's introduce you to the King. Yeah? Let's open the door and get into his presence. In the last years of Williams Booth's life, William Booth was the founder of the Salvation Army, and a lot of the pictures look like they were painted in the last years or taken in the last years of his life, because he looks always a very old man, doesn't he? And he really was near the end of his life when he sent a telegram around the world, because he couldn't travel anymore, with the main thing he wanted people to remember, his just one more thing. This is William Booth's. He was very elderly. He didn't have much time left. And his message was not a long sermon. Thanks be to God. It was not an eloquent speech. It was just one word. Do you know what it was? That's it. It was others. It was others. The church exists not for our comfort, but for the sake of those outside. Not for those inside. Not so we can please ourselves, but for others, for the outsiders. And this key to the kingdom, the one which can help us share that good news, that key is welcome. Welcome. So I wonder if we can do a brave thing this morning. I wonder if you could stand if the reason you came to this church is because of the welcome you received when you came. So I'm hoping at least one or two are going to stand up. But no, truthfully, if it was welcome that made the difference for you, isn't God to be praised? Isn't God to be praised that welcome brought us into fellowship together? Thank you. Thank you. Do sit down. Welcome opens the door. Welcome keeps it open, even if people decide to go and come and go and come. Yes? Don't ever shut that welcome, because people need to go and come. Welcome that is genuine and reliable and consistent and faithful and accepting and not judgmental, because people don't get that anywhere else. Only from God. And only God through you. So, just one more thing. Welcome. And just one more thing about the keys. Have you ever tried a key in the lock? And, you know, there's a knack to using it. And once you've learnt the knack, it's easy. But if you haven't got the knack, you can't get that door open, yeah? Sometimes you have to push it up. Or, you know, kind of lean against the door and then unlock it, and then it opens. And then you see someone else coming along to the door and you watch them struggling. Now, you can do one of two things, can't you? You can go and say, step aside. I've got the knack. Okay. Or you can say, look, if you just push it like this, and if you just lean on it like that, and then if you turn it, you'll get in. You could pass on the knack, couldn't you? And during Jesus' 3 years of ministry, he was passing on the knack. He was showing them how to use the keys. They were learning how to use the keys. And here's a word for some of you who've been following for a while, or even if you've just been following for 6 months. We are disciples who make disciples. Yeah? It's no good having the keys and not using them or hanging on to them. We've got to show others the knack. We've got to show others how to use the keys. So disciples who make disciples sounds a bit, ooh, I can't do that. But showing someone how to use a key, we can all do that, can't we? So having a little word about encouragement, or saying, well, if you find praying difficult, I do it this way. Or, you know, maybe encouraging someone to love somebody. That's the knack. Pass it on. Pass it on. May people see through us the love of Christ. May we be like that servant who unlocks the door so that someone can come in and see the King. Would you love to be that person? We can all be that person. Because those keys are what God gives to us as his church. Not to me, not to Tim, or even the leadership team. We're not the ones with the keys, you are. Everyone, you have the keys. Let's use them. Let's use them. So I have got some keys to give you this morning. And there's a little fob on it, room for you to write just one more thing. Just something that you want to remember. Something not that I've said, but that God has said to you and into your heart. What do you think God wants you to remember as we go from worship today, as we go into the future? So come and take a key. Come and write. There's a few pens here, but maybe we'll spread out if you want to write, or take it back and write something that you feel God wants you to remember. It could be pray together. It could be love each other. It could be welcome. I'm going to have some music while we do that. It's actually the words to that are on your connect sheet. Just take note of those words. They're kingdom words, words for us to remember. And then as you would like, just come and get yourself a key. Now, if you would like to come for prayer, we'd love to pray with you. And if this is the first time you've heard about God's kingdom and you'd really like to be in it, then you can come as well and we'll pray with you. But let's listen to God and respond to him in these final moments of our worship together. Just have a moment while we find out that we are. Father God, we thank you for your welcome to us. We thank you that the cross means Jesus' arms are outstretched to welcome us into his kingdom. And so we take up a key today just as a symbol of saying yes to you, Jesus, and listening to you and going forward with you. And Lord, teach us how to use the key to your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father God, we just thank you that there are no outsiders to your love. I praise you for those who can say, I'm not an outsider to your love. Those who have experienced the fullness of your grace and your mercy through the outstretched arms of Christ upon the cross and the indwelling of your Holy Spirit. Maybe, Lord God, there are those here this morning who feel an outsider to your love, and I just pray that they will recognize that there are no outsiders. Lord God, that you are for all. Your heart is towards everyone, and you want them to experience a fullness of life which is found in you. So we just thank you that there are no outsiders to your love. But then, Lord God, as you gave, in that sense, the keys to Peter, the responsibility to Peter, you give us the responsibility of letting others know of that love. And I pray that this week, just as people might have look at that key which is in their hand or wherever they may place it, they may consider what are the keys to unlocking doors for people to experience your love. They won't only consider things, but they will put them into practice. And particularly this morning, Joe was talking about the welcome that we give. That consistent, loving welcome. May that continue to be a banner over this church. May it continue to be a banner in our homes when we meet, perhaps for cell group or other times. May that be a time of welcome. Lord God, give us that grace to keep on welcoming people into our lives, into our church, whatever they bring with them, and they bring so much goodness, so much life, so much vitality often. But sometimes they bring things which sort of drain us, can be emotionally draining, physically draining. Lord God, whatever, we just pray that you help us to keep on welcoming people just as you have welcomed us. Because there are no outsiders to your love. And so we praise you this morning. We ask for your abundant blessing upon this congregation as they follow you, as they are disciples who want to make other disciples. May your kingdom come and your will be done in this place. Lord God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.